Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
I'm gonna text Rob.
Somebody just set the alarm.
Talking sports with the 12th man. It feels like old times, man. It's been a minute. Obviously, we want to welcome everyone because we had a week off, but just feels like, you know, I missed you guys, man. So that's what we do. Of course, we're talking sports with the 12th man. Kind of a two-man crew. We'll check in on our third partner, Mr. Robert Ford. But today, of course, is Tuesday, May the 31st. It is flying by this month, this year. It feels like 2016. Yes. But yes. Let's check in. JQ, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm good. It does seem like it's been like a month. It's only been 2 weeks. And I promise, you know, I didn't let Rob fall into the gorilla pit at the zoo. So I don't know what happened to him. I don't know where he is.
Oh, that's great. See, you know, you probably didn't want to call because afterwards I said that, you know, for the show topics, we're gonna spend like a dissertation on, you know, why Atlanta won the Super Bowl over New Orleans. So maybe I got a little upset about that, you know. So, you know, maybe he wasn't too happy about that. But anyway, but of course, maybe he'll check in. I'm keeping an eye on the switchboard, see if he calls in. But of course, without the numbers real quick, JQ, it may just be me and you. So we've done this before, me and Rob back in the day. So we'll see it. So we have a little more time to talk about that. But as always, guests, you want to reach out to us. That number, it's always 424-243-9519. That's the number to call on the show. Talk to your boys. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we are at the number 12, THMAN Sports. That's 12 Man Sports. And then finally, if you want to follow us on Facebook. We have the Facebook page. You can go to facebook.com/12Man Sports. Or if you type in Talking Sports with the 12 Man, you will find us in that capacity as well. Whoa! All right. Like I always do, I felt like I was losing my voice, but it's coming back. So let's kind of kick it off. Obviously, we've been talking about this over the show, JQ. And the Warriors, you talk about a fantastic, fantastic Game 7. I think it was pretty exciting. And I'm going to ask you a question. I want to give you a recap about that. It did set a cable TV's record with that, with ratings. And I'm going to let you talk about the recap. But I do want to ask you, everyone's been asking about this too, if, you know, was it a great comeback by the Warriors or did OKC actually, like, you know, do an epic fail? So, you know, the ultimate kind of giving up that three thing. So, go ahead. It's on you, man. So, you got the floor, sir.
So, I mean, I know it's a cop-out, but I think it's a mixture of both, really, because they go up 3-1, and you know that Golden State is going to go home and win Game 5. So, to me, it came down to Game 6, and I said it. I felt like if Oklahoma City was going to win that, even up 3-1, it was going to have to win Game 6 in Oklahoma City. And for a good stretch of time there, they were doing just what I thought they had to do to win the title. I mean, to get to the chance to play for the title, and that last 5 minutes of that fourth quarter, you got to give Clay a lot of credit. 11 three-pointers to keep him close, and then Curry being the MVP showing up when he showed up. But still, you know, the turnovers, and too many times Russell Westbrook forgets that he has Kevin Durant on him. And he takes too many shots, and in doing that, he's going 100 miles an hour, and he gets those turnovers. And, yeah, he stacks the stat sheet, but you get those plays and the fact that he gets them a lot of times at ill-advised times, you know, down the stretch when you need to make big plays, and he's turning it over, and Curry's hitting big shots, and then he gets up there and laughs with Kevin Durant about, you know, Curry's defense. So I think Game 6, they blew. I do. I mean, I give Clay a ton of credit and Curry for stepping up, but at home with a double-digit lead in the game in the third quarter, then down to I think it was like 7 with like 5 minutes to go and lose it, you know, at home. It's tough. Game 7, you just – in the same thing. They came out, had to lead at halftime, but just got destroyed this time in the third quarter. I just got to give you hats off to Golden State. They didn't quit. You know, they made adjustments, and they made shots that there's no defense for. When Kevin Durant, I believe, is one of those shots at the fourth quarter, when Kevin Durant is doing all he can do with Stephen Curry, and splash. You know, you just can't do anything. So I think it's a little bit of both. A little long story short, I think it's a little bit of both. Game six, I think, is a choke. Game seven, I think it's more just Golden State showing us why they're Golden State.
Yeah, and I thought about this long and hard, the same thing, because, you know, I kind of agree with you because it's tough to kind of, like, say one or the other. If you would have told me earlier that we got to think, man, KFC, you laid an egg, man, because you can't – if you're up 3-1, you can't let some team come back on you, you know. But like you said, that pivotal game six, game five, a couple things that you knew were going to happen, and you kind of felt the momentum kind of switching. And, you know, game six at OKC, like you talked about, that was just – they did not want to go home, you know. You know, the Warriors, they did their thing, and they're like, we are not going home. And you just felt like, oh, this could be the game, man, you know. But it's tough because I was giving Billy Donovan a lot of praise because he was kind of like making all the right chess moves, right, JK? It was like everything he was working, it was working. He figured out how to get the best out of, you know, playing Steven Adams, you know, Deion Waiters, you know, Robers. It's like they were – he was like calling all the right stuff and like, man, this – you know, you got to give him credit. But then, like you said, I was like on Russell Westbrook's bandwagon, you know, because I'm like, okay, this guy literally is becoming like he's growing up before our eyes. He wasn't having all these turnovers. And then he started just messing up again, you know. And what got him there, and you know, he kind of like reverted back to his old ways of he felt like he could take over the game. And that's not what got you there, you know. And you know, it's just one of those things that's, I don't know. It's not what you know, if you can go back in time and kind of like say, you know, Russell, man, you know, just you were doing so well, man. Everyone was kind of seeing how this guy, he always coming to his own. And then he started making those dumb, not dumb, but just, I don't know. It was just kind of frustrating from that perspective. But anyway, as we talk about that, that's a quick recap about that. We got a lot of time to talk about that. So we can continue on since it's just two of us. And speaking of that, if you are Kevin Durant, do you stay where you are? Do you kind of like, all right, do you can't beat him, I can't join him? Do you try to like sign on? I heard an interesting rumor about Kevin Durant and the San Antonio Spurs. I don't know. That was just kind of like out there, but, you know, that couldn't be wrong. But there's a couple things that you have to look at. I mean, you know, is this – where do you think if you're Kevin Durant? I mean, you're going to take your visits, obviously, but do you stay, get that 2-year one-on-one deal, and then kind of like open yourself up next year or – what do you do? What do you think?
I think what happens is what I think we talked about before is that he signs a 2-year deal with a 1-year opt-out, right? Because he wants to see what Russell Westbrook is going to do. But having said that, I've been somebody in that camp of I think they need their own team because Russell Westbrook is never going to agree that Kevin Durant is the better player of the two, even though I think it became Russell Westbrook's team more when Kevin Durant got hurt. Don't get me wrong. But I still think now Kevin Durant back up to full speed is the better player. But now it's kind of Russell's team, right, because he got hurt. So they're going to be in a power struggle. And I just can't ever see Russ sitting back saying, you know what, like what he did for LeBron, like, you know what, you the better player. I'm going to defer to you often. And you're absolutely right to your previous argument. Mm-hmm. When they were sharing the ball and moving it and not going 1-on-3, they got up 3-1. And they did that for large stretches of the game in Game 6, and they did it for stretches of Game 7. But when things got tight, they stopped trusting, and they reverted back to bad tendencies, and it got them in trouble. I just don't know if they'll ever mesh right. That's why but I don't know of a better situation for him really to go other than he can't go to Golden State. I don't care what anybody says. He can't go to Golden State because he's going to get destroyed. He could maybe go to San Antonio. He can't go to Golden State when they already have Curry and Thompson. They're not giving up either one of those dudes to bring him in. And he's like, come on. And Draymond, if they keep on him and add Kevin Durant, they're going to be like, man, you took the easy way out. And the same way they did with LeBron with Bosh and Wade. I think it's not going to be as bad as that, but it still would be bad. So I don't really see him doing that. You know, San Antonio is kind of like the sleeper where people don't really get mad at what they do, right? So you know the Duck is going to be pretty much done. You got – maybe another year of Ginobili, maybe another year to two of Parker, but it's really going to be Leonard and Aldridge. So if you let them get their big three in terms of getting Kevin Durant, I don't think that would be as frowned upon because that's what teams are doing now. I need a big three. Well, now they have a big three because other dudes are old. So that's the only thing I think he could get away with, but I think he has to try to stick it out in Oklahoma City just because anywhere else is almost like a cop-out.
What do you think about the going back home to Washington, D.C.? Is that just something that just a pipe dream for the Wizards fans? Or, yep. I mean, you hire Scott Brooks, you know, you're like, hey, you know, come back. I mean, what about, you know, is John Wall, like, texting him, like, come on, we can be that next duo. What do you think about that?
I think he understands that. I think he loves D.C. because that's what helped mold and shape him. But I don't think he necessarily wants to go back there. And I've read reports where he doesn't have to want to deal with people trying to claw his time because he's from there, trying to get him to do favors, you know, repping for the hood, this, that, and the other. They said he was already bringing his inner circle down to smaller and smaller. So I think he's in a more of a situation of, you know, I love y'all. You helped mold me. But, you know, I wasn't living house to hog in the D.C. area. You know, I was broke and I was poor. So all my memories ain't really great memories. You know what I mean? Like, I love my city, but we struggled, right? So I don't have that rosy, you know, colored view of it like other people would have had a different experience. I think he's like, it helped me out. I made it out of there, and I don't necessarily need to go back to live. I got my mama with me. She, you know, she got a house wherever I am. I'm at. So, you know, it was really just me and her anyway. So I don't really need anything else. I just don't think so. I think maybe if Bradley Beal hadn't gotten hurt in the way he got hurt, and he put such a question mark on Washington, because you already got Wall. But if Beal had made that leak that we thought he was going to make, I think they might have still been in the running. I think the situation, I might have won out over circumstance. Like, okay, you know, I got Bradley Beal and John Wall. They're both under 26. So, and I'm going to be, you know, 10 years in the league, which is nuts. So that situation is pretty nice. But, I mean, barring – I don't know, John Wall and Bill flying to Oklahoma City to talk to him. I think I put Oklahoma City 1, San Antonio 2, and D.C. 3. I just don't think he can go to Golden State. I think he knows that it just won't go over well.
Well, I mean, like you said, I mean, you can't please everybody. What I would say to that is, you know, at the end of the day, if you win a ring, you know, you can, you know, LeBron kind of took it on the chin for going to Miami. You know, because he just, you know, I wanted something different. He's like, I never had a chance to get wooed and go to college. So technically he could, you know, do that. And everyone may hate him. He's like, so what? I get the ring. And then he can kind of flip back. All right, I'm back. You know, so let's not, you know, everyone hated LeBron for a couple of years. But then he came back. And next thing you know, there's love again. So I'm not saying that he would be hated. They don't hate
LeBron.
They still
hate him. Yes, they do.
Don't hate him.
Oh, my God.
Anytime I go out
with my homeboys or go to any other bar, man, you hear people bashing LeBron. They be giving him the business. I was like, I don't agree with that at all. I hear people talking real slick about LeBron. He ruins his image with that. And I mean, and that's on him. So don't get me wrong. He deserves a lot of blame for that because of that decision. I think since that decision, it's all gone downhill. And then, you know, the passive-aggressive media, Twitter campaign he does, he's doing a lot of that himself, but people don't like him, dog. They don't like him. They was ready for Curry to come along and do what he was doing so they could latch on to him. They was ready for it. I believe it.
Interesting. Like I said, that's funny. Like I said, I mean, I'm curious about that because I know there's some of my homies that say they hate him, and they're like, yeah, we happy he's back, you know, whatever. So I guess I'm curious if that's like a 50-50 split or 70. You know, I'm curious about this, but interesting. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, like I said. We'll see how it is, you know, if I'm, you know, KD, you know, at the end of the day, you can't please everybody. So get your ring, you know, make it happen, whatever, call it as it is. Like I said, I think that we'll keep an eye on that San Antonio situation because I think that may be the best scenario, like the sleeper, if you will. But I do think, like you said, he's going to stay with OKC. Maybe he'll go and then he may see, you know, the future because you got an inside game. You got Kawhi Leonard, and he could be like the missing piece for that, man. So it brings back like the Milwaukee Buck days of, you know, Big Dog and –
Ray Allen, Sam
Cassell. Yeah. That's what that kind of thinks it reminded, you know, a little bit different. They don't have the point guard, but that's kind of what that reminds me of too. All right, let's move on. Apparently, Rob is, you know, not joining us tonight, so we'll just keep moving here.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
he's gonna text me like, my bad, I fell asleep. Let's talk about the finals preview. So, Rob put. That how is this year's series different from last year's series? And we could go a lot of different directions with this, man. So knock it out. I'm going to let you have first crack at this, JQ.
I think really it comes down to one word, and that's health. LeBron is still LeBron, and I believe Curry is, you know, probably a little bit better than he was last year. Just look at what he did 3-point-wise and his overall numbers, unanimous MVP. I mean, you could have made an argument that he was also the most improved player. I mean, just a huge jump. But, you know, basically you have the same two teams except for the Cleveland has Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving. And I know it's cliche to say, but I believe this is one that you just can't get wrong in terms of what it means. LeBron has to look at Curry at this point as his stiffest competition for the hearts and minds of the basketball world and peers, so to speak. You got a back-to-back MVP, the only unanimous MVP, a 73-9 win team, and the defending champs. And you're supposed to be LeBron James. You're supposed to be the best player on the planet, right? Self-proclaimed and what everybody else also was saying up until Curry just shot into orbit. But for
yeah.
him, I think it's, I think he's got to view it like that. And, you know, you he five final losses and then back-to-back to Curry, along with losing the ring. You know, this is a piece of it I still believe is a I'm a bigger superstar than you are. And if you want to say we're the two biggest superstars right now, you arguably would be right. And we're playing for the title again. But now I got my whole crew. He's got no excuses. And they're rested. He had a great path. And people listening, I told them every chance something happened, I told them on the text messages that Cleveland is having the best postseason of any team in the postseason because they're getting everything
yep.
to break their way. So
yep.
it comes down to they have to defend those Golden State pushes or, you know, not get discouraged because they're going to make a run at you. You just can't help it. But you got to defend the three-point line. But I think at some point, too, it's got to be real personal for LeBron, and he's going to have to make life easier, and it's going to come down also to Draymond and Iguodala's defense on him because I believe we're going to get that aggressive LeBron. I don't think he's going to be able to sit back and pass and allow another loss to Golden State happen because he wasn't, you know, he was trying to be too much Magic and not enough Mike, you know what I mean? So I
yeah.
think we may get more of Good. That aggressive one. I think he's going to have to do that in order for him to win. I really do. But Kyrie and Kevin are going to have to show up. They're going to have to clearly be the second and third best options for the Cavaliers to win that series.
So are you making a prediction right now who is going to win? Is that something you're leaning towards Cleveland, or what are you saying with that?
I think it's Cleveland. I think it's Cleveland in seven. I think they win in Oracle in game seven.
Okay.
I do.
Okay. I mean, I can see that because the league wants him to win. You know, that's just honest conspiracy.
See,
theory.
Come on, man.
But
come on, dog.
I'm just saying, man. Yeah, they ain't won nothing. I think that's, you know, I'm not taking anything from their play. I'm just saying, you know, we'll see. But
no,
but
I don't think it matters.
If I'm going to State, I am putting all my. I don't care if LeBron scores 60 points. I'm putting all my guys on the guys that shoot threes. You let LeBron, you dunk every single time. You know, you do not let them go off. You let LeBron get his, let him be Michael, but that's the case, they ain't gonna win. You know, let him be like the one man wrecking crew with what Russell Westbrook did. Don't let anyone else you not let Kevin Love get off, you don't let Kyrie go off. You know, you don't let anyone else go off, man. That's what I would say. But, you know, it's gonna be a good game. I good points, like you said. I would say in spite of my little conspiracy theories, it does seem like it's going for Cleveland, right? You said it. They're well-rested. Everybody's healthy, you know. So, you know, they've got some time to really – they added a couple moves here to kind of combat – they knew they were going to see Golden State. They're like, all right, let's get some three-point shooting.
Yep.
J.R. Smith, Channing Frye, you know,
yep.
like you said, Love. They strengthened the bench. Shumpert, everyone's playing well. They've got a lot of confidence right now, even though Toronto did kind of bring them to the brink, you know. But I will say this, they had a lot of trouble when both Lowry and DeRozan were on. So, I gotta say that I think Thompson and Curry are definitely better than Lowry and DeRozan. That's not a knock on them, but I'm just saying I just think they're just more explosive. So, you know, there's a lot more pieces that Golden State has that can
yeah.
kind of go at you and flurry. You know, I'm just saying flurry.
Yeah,
you know?
It's true, but I think Thompson is not the driver that Lowry and DeRozan are. I think he's a tremendously better shooter by leaps and bounds than either one of those
yeah.
two. But in terms
true,
of being able
true,
to put
true.
The ball on the floor, I think he would be the fourth best amongst those four. So, but you're right, though, and that's what it's going to have to be. And to your point about Toronto, if you think about it, you know, Fry's been through it, but it's been a couple of years. But really what it was, I think, is that Kyrie didn't have the series he would have had last year anyway because he was already hurt. Then his kneecap finally gave in and broke in game one.
Right.
But you see Kevin Love hurt. That's really was their first rodeo in, you know, in terms of trying to close somebody out for a trip to go to the title. So I think some of that I'll chalk up to the fact that your second and third best option really haven't been through this before. Like, you can tell them everything you want to tell them, but until they go into Toronto and hear that crowd and, you know, Drake yelling at them on the sideline and all other levels of foolishness, I mean, you got to go through that. You know what I mean? You got to kind of go through that and experience it, and then you know what to expect the next time. So I think that just helps them out, honestly, and I'll give them a pass for that, because you saw LeBron, it didn't affect him so much, but it really affected Kyrie and Kevin on the road.
All right, fair enough. I mean, like you said, you got to look at, and this is where we talk about the team dynamic too. I mean, like I said, you know, if you compare the Raptors and Golden State, you know, like you said, they got great guards. You know, Damari Kuro, decent. I mean, that's not knocking him. I like Damari, obviously, but you know, I think Golden State has more weapons to throw at a Cleveland per se. You know, but Cleveland had trouble with Lowry and DeRozan, so they're going to already have trouble with claims, you know, Curry. And he's throwing Draymond, and he's throwing Iguodala, and he's throwing, you know, not saying Harrison Barnes is a game changer, but they had too many pieces to throw at you, you know. So, you know, it's gonna be a great series, and I'm excited to see how Cleveland has made some adjustments. But like I said, you know, there's going to be no excuses, because you got your big three with you, and now there's pretty much no excuse. So, you know, we'll see. Hi, we're
pretty much
along. Got 8 minutes left here. 8 minutes here. So we're not committing. You know, JQ's kind of thinking Cleveland, and I'm gonna go. I would say Cleveland because I think it's conspiracy, but I wouldn't go and take the win in my heart. That's kind of what I like to happen, because I'm on the bandwagon. So yeah, that's okay. What?
My God.
So this is pretty interesting. Just roll with me, man. Troll with me. The Sixers. Apparently, they know who they are taking with the number one pick, according to a report. My question to you, JQ, have you heard this report about who they want to get?
It shouldn't be a shocker. Yeah, I don't think it should be a shocker. It's really, it's Ben Simmons. And we've had, I think, a similar conversation in the past of there's nobody on the Philadelphia roster that has done anything more not being able to be moved if we get a player that comes along and plays your position better than you do. So it could be really risky. If they wanted to keep everybody they have right now on the team, it probably be better for them to take Ingram because he has more of an outside shot. But if you're telling me that Simmons is the best, you know, the best prospect in his class, but, oh, we've already got Noel, we've got Embiid, then we've got Okafor, so, you know, he needs to play the power forward position because he's too – not small, fast enough to play the small forward position on a night basis, I think. Then you have to take him with the intention of moving two of those guys now. We've heard them talk about moving Okafor and Noel if they can get the right package for him. But I think you almost have to move two of them. You might be able to keep a third one, but you got to make a decision with two of them as being my power forward and my center, right? And then the other ones really aren't going to want to come off the bench. You know, they've been picked first, second, and third, you know, in the league. They don't want to come off the bench in their third year in the league. So I think they got it. I think they're going to go with Ben Simmons. I think they're just trying to see if they can, you know, drum up some interest. But I don't think, and probably with the Lakers, because I don't know who else would do that. I mean, this is a two-man draft, really, if you want to be honest, more than likely. And the cost to move up into the top two is going to be ridiculous. And for the Lakers, all the pressure is off for them, right? At two, I just take whoever you don't take. So I think that's them just trying to draw some interest, but I'm pretty sure it's probably Ben Simmons. I'd be really shocked if they took Ingram over Simmons.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the draft too as well. I mean, like you said, I mean, there's a couple reports about that, you know, that they're right now they're playing the game like we don't really know, blah, blah, blah. They said that. But like you said, you know, they are doing their due diligence right now on Ben Simmons, because we talked about it. I mean, and this draft, I know you don't want to skip Kevin Durant for Greg Oden, Michael Jordan for, you know, the list.
Sam Bowie.
I mean, Sam Bowie. Yeah, and because that was a need pick, right? All they had was needed a big man. Sam Bowie was the man. I'm not saying he was like, you know, chopped liver, but, you know, in hindsight, yeah, no one would have thought they would have been Michael Jordan, but that's what they've done it twice, man. But that's the thing. So I think if you're Philadelphia, you're hoping that Ben Simmons and the world of trades, that he has so much to learn, not learn, but, you know, he's got the potential to become, you know, that superstar. So, you know, you can't miss on that. Right. We could be wrong. Now, Brandon Ingram, like you said, he's got the length, he's got the athleticism, unless he turns into, something that's a little different. We haven't really seen him kind of blow up in that instance either, So I want to talk to you about this because, in your opinion, as a Laker fan, are you okay with Brandon Ingram as a second pick? Are you okay with that? Do you want to trade out of it? Are you okay with getting, Ingram for your second pick there?
I would be all right with getting Ingram for the second pick because the Lakers are not going to use him where I think Philadelphia might try, and that's too far in the paint. He's real thin right now. But if you say, okay.
Real thin. I love it.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, if you say I'm going to, let him play more on the wing, opposite primary ball handlers and Clarkson and Russell, and I've already got Randall, and I'm going to try to get, a Fazili or somebody like that to play at center next to Randall, but then I'm going to let Brandon play the three and be more on the perimeter, then, yeah, that's what I can stomach that. But if you're going to tell me I'm a drafting with thoughts of moving Randall to five and putting him at the four, I'm going to say that's not going to work because he's just not big enough to go down there and bang in the NBA. And I know there's a lot of, stretch fours now, but not every team has a stretch four. A lot of this is, you still got to get out there and get your butt in the post when you're 6, 9, 10, or 11, unless you're LeBron James, clearly. And don't get me started on that. But so for me, I'm okay with that. And if Philadelphia, like you said, goes for the knee, I would take Simmons and you just figure it out. The thing I was going to say about Simmons, and I wonder if it's going to give him pause, is I told you, that's a special kind of retarded – sorry, not retarded, but special kind of stupid to not – when you know you're going to be the first pick in the draft and you're not staying in class long enough so you can actually be in the running for the awards that you probably would win if you just went to class and tried – to make sure you guys see my – I would have a little bit of a problem taking that person because I feel like if I give you some money, what are you going to do? Because that leads me to your train of thought and how you're thinking because that's just ignorant, bro. It's ignorant. I can't understand how you would do that. So,
I don't have any words for that, bro. I'm like, I don't know the little details about that, but I agree with you in that unless he's clearly already checked out. We know that, but – you've got folks telling you all your career, you're the number one pick, you're the number one pick, you're the number one pick. And he's going to be the number one pick, So I've never been blessed to be in that scenario to even work because, at this juncture, I'm just playing not to get hurt, at this juncture. Because I know, I got this future money, I got this future contract, I got the shoe deal. I mean, I will be the man wherever I'm going, So at the end of the day, I'm not saying this, I'm just telling you, class is not the number one probably thing on his mind, So,
I
it's just something to think about. Yeah.
Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. You said he just was already checked out. He never checked in. In order to probably be on the thing for that means for fall semester that you didn't do anything, right? Because you don't even get grades until the tournament is over for the spring. So we're talking about fall semester. We're talking about one semester that that was your first semester at college and you didn't go to class at all? You can get a C-, and you know you're going to be on the watch list. You know you're going to be on the watch list. How don't you at least qualify to win some awards, bro? I'm not trying to tell you to be a rocket scientist, but Lord have mercy, a C-.
Yeah, I got you. All right, so we were able to do this, sir. The fact that we were able to pull the show off, just two of us, we got through it, man. We got about a minute and 20 seconds. Do you want to set up the show for the OT portion? Want me to do that, or I'm going to leave it to you because you got about a minute to do that. I'm trying to act like you're Rob. Are you okay with doing that, or you want me to set it up? How you want to do that?
You go ahead and do it, man. I wasn't thinking about it. Rob messed me up.
All right. Well, as always, we want to thank you for listening to the show. As always, next week we'll get Rob one. I'm thinking it'll probably be on Monday night, but we'll kind of get back to you as well. So for all our folks in Hawaii, you know how that is. Tune in for us. Thank you for checking in for Germany, for Japan, all that fun stuff. We love you, appreciate you. West Coast time, East Coast time, all those. Definitely don't forget to follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, keep the post on. Next week, obviously, we're going to talk about some more NFL. We're also going to talk about the finals, so we'll probably be a couple games in at that juncture. That's what we do. Anything else you want to say before we get ready to wrap up, JQ?
See, this is why I had to let you do it. Y'all out here hollering at all the NATO countries and, our treaty neighbors and whatnot. I'm just going to say San Diego. I went and got my Futures Games ticket. I was still pub the other day. We're about a month away from hitting the beach. Let's go San Diego. Thanks for joining us, y'all.
Peace. No more shout-outs to. Shout-outs to, I'm happy because, you know, we didn't really talk about this. Rob didn't put this on the topics. But, you know, and I'm going to, like, rub it in, too. But I'm excited that Atlanta got the bid for the Super Bowl. Not that I was trying to rub it in about New Orleans, but I'm just happy that we finally won something. Everyone was, like, giving us a lot of grief, too, with that. So shout-out to that, Atlanta. A loss to Miami and Los Angeles as far as winning the Super Bowl, too. Good night, people.
Yes, sir. There was no way they were going to take that old broke-down Superdome over a brand-new stadium in Atlanta. There was no way. He knows it. He posted it. He said, it's time to get a new stadium. Like, you're absolutely right. You were never winning that battle, ever.
Oh, man. I love it. All right, so officially, you know, I want to talk about this, too, because I was going to tell you, just continuing on the mock draft, because we were talking about the number 2 pick, and I do want to kind of ask your opinion about, you know, Brandon Ingram, because if you go to, you know, and I'm a huge fan of this site, NBADraft.net, you probably heard of that site, too, JQ, as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a comparison of Brandon Ingram. They either call him Tayshaun Prince or Kevin Durant. That's a huge gap. That's ridiculous.
I'm like, really?
But this is what I'm gonna say with that. So in the best, I'm talking about the best case scenario. If he is even a little 70% of Kevin Durant, you are freaking ecstatic. I would say that. Right?
Yes.
Now,
oh, very much so.
If he's Tayshaun Prince, are you happy or are you like, dang? What's your thoughts about that? As a Laker fan.
Yeah, but the thing, I mean, Tayshaun Prince got a ring with an unheralded group of guys in Detroit. If these four guys get together and become a 2017 Detroit Pistons team that nobody saw coming and wins the title, I don't give $2 if he's Tayshaun Prince. He'll bring another title back. So that's people talk bad about Tayshaun Prince. That's a crazy, ridiculous fan, by the way. That's just like going to the floor and the ceiling, like, of a mansion. Like, there's so much room in between those two levels as a comparison. That's crazy.
I'm with you. That's why I was looking at that. Yeah, go ahead.
But Tayshaun played great defense for a good stretch of time, and he also grabbed a lot of rebounds. So if you're telling me I'm going to get Clarkson and Russell to be primary scorers and get Randall to contribute, and then Ingram grows into, you know, my 3-and-D defender and grabs tough rebounds, I'm okay with that in terms of a fit if everybody else plays their role, right? So, you know, I still would be okay with that if that was the thing. But like I said, yeah, if you give me him as 70% of Kevin Durant, oh, yeah, I'll be doing backflips. I mean, of course, with the number 2 pick, yes, sir.
Well, this is what I'm talking about because that's the thing. I'm saying as number 2 pick. At number 2 pick, he better not be Tayshaun Prince. That's what I'm saying.
He's better than Tayshaun. Now than Tayshaun ever shot, though. I was like, his jumper would have to go so completely south to be Tayshaun Prince. It's not even funny.
Well, like I said, that's why, it's just one of those things when I was looking at the comparison, I'm like, wow, you talk about a totally, like you said, the mansion. That's a great analogy. You can't be more opposite than he's the Tayshaun Prince
right.
Or Kevin Durant. What?
Right. That's like
Pacific Ocean versus Atlantic Ocean. That's how far apart that is. It's just crazy. But,
right.
You know, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was just agreeing with you. Like, yeah, that's just a ridiculous comparison. It's like, how far can I get close to zero? How far can I get close to 100? And throw both of them out there and say, he's somewhere in between there. You know, he's somewhere in between 75 and 27. You know, it's like, really?
I was curious about the scouting on the report. Yeah, but like you said, I definitely agree with what you're talking about. I agree if they get the right pieces and he is Tayshaun Prince and they win a championship, it doesn't matter at that juncture. But I was just saying that at number 2, is that, like, you know, is that a lot of pressure for him to kind of be that next guy? Because like you said, at the end
of
the
day,
yeah.
You know why? Because there really is nothing that you're passing up on that anybody can agree on right now that, oh, I took Brandon Ingram and I left Michael Jordan potentially out there on the board. So
yeah.
I think that kind of saves them, right? Like, they don't have a really hard decision to make at 2. Most people view this as a two-man draft, and they're going to just, you know, have all the pressure taken off of you. I'll take whoever you don't take. So I didn't mean to necessarily cut you off. I'm just saying this draft is so bad, right? that,
yeah,
you know, unless Buddy Hill does what he did at Oklahoma,
like
they're like, why did you take
like
him?
Buddy,
yeah. He, I think he's the only one that can make some people have some regrets because dude can just get buckets. And somebody's going to find out, and it's going to be up to him to see if it translates. But given what I've seen him do in terms of get buckets, like I feel like I should give that guy a chance, but he's a little undersized. So
yeah,
that's the only one. He's the only one I can feel like somebody is may strike rich on. There's nobody else I really see that I'm just like, you know what, that dude, he's going to be Tim Duncan. You know, like I just don't see that
yeah.
out there in this draft.
Yeah, we'll talk about that, too, because I do want to talk about the mock draft, too. But that's the thing, too, because, you know, secretly, this is just totally selfish. If I'm the Hawks, I'm, like, trading here Jeff Teague. It's who you want to pick for Minnesota for that pick, man. That's that would be Andre, you know. Because he sounds – I'm not saying he's Steph Curry, but the same type of thing about Curry, undersized, great shooter. Now, granted,
mm-hmm.
you know, Steph Curry was killing at Davidson more than Buddy Hill. But you see the potential. I mean, anytime you talk about an undersized shooting guard, he's definitely taller than Ben Gordon. And Ben Gordon was a crazy shooter. You know, he made his career too. So, you know, I think
yeah.
he can pull it out. I like his intangibles. I like the fact that, you know, he's older. And everyone, that's kind of a everyone hates the fact that he's older because they have, like, the potential.
Yeah.
But I'm like, that's maturity. You know, so if I'm a
yeah.
team, that's a check mark in the right direction. Not like a young, he's not like 18 years old. Or 19, you know, kind of that 1 year, you know, so that's just me. But like I said, you know, if I'm a team, I'm pulling the trigger. I think Buddy Hill is, I think it's a three person, you know, what I'm talking about, as far as like three people that I think could actually make an impact to. I'm not going to say he's a superstar or anything like that, but, you know, there's guys that can grow into it, you know, obviously Jaylen Brown and whatnot too. And I know this is Rob's territory. Rob really is a huge basketball junkie as far as, you know, he knows about, you know, stats and whatnot. So I'm not going to try to be Rob in that instance too, but we can talk a little bit about some players that you think, and you said it's only a two-team or two-guy race here. I am going to ask you one more question regarding the Lakers, and it's not just because I'm a Laker fan, because I'm curious about this. It is regarding, obviously, the Raptors and DeMar DeRozan. He is from L.A., I'm sorry to do this to you, but yeah. So, is he going home, man? Is that the word? Do you
not.
Want him? You hope
no.
not. Wow, really, really?
Yeah, no. Listen to me. Listen to me closely. There are only, if I was a GM, there are only maybe 15 guys that would pay $22 to $24 million a year. Tops 15. All right, and Al Horford ain't one either. So we've had that conversation about him. Yeah, neither is DeMar DeRozan. He's got a nice little slash game, but, you know, in this day and age, if you can't shoot the three, I can't pay you $24 million as a guard and you can't shoot the three. Are you crazy? Like, I don't trust DeMar DeRozan. That's why nobody trusted Gervonta. Nobody trusts DeMar DeRozan and Lowry to upend somebody big over a seven-game series. Nobody – that doesn't strike any fear in anybody's heart. Like, I'm not with overpaying DeMar DeRozan to come to L.A. I'm okay with still being okay and getting better win-wise and taking another lump because we're still young and let those guys we have now, the young guys, figure it out. And then when more money rolls in, people look up and say, oh, well, you know what? The Lakers kind of have like four young guys right now that if I join them, I could really mold them and we could be boss. Like, they're just missing that piece. And, oh, yeah, it's L.A. So I wouldn't, you know, overreact and spend a lot of money on DeRozan. I really wouldn't. He just doesn't. He has too many holes in his game for me. And you saw part of it exposed. It don't carry on the road. And for $24 million, your game has to go on the road in the Eastern Conference Finals. I can't give you $24 million and you don't show up, right? So that's just me. I 15 folks, maybe I get $24 million to. And we talk about superstars and superstars. That's a lot of money. I don't care what the cap is. $24 million, you have to be a boss for $24 million a year. And he's nice, but he ain't a boss.
So you trying to say that you don't want DeMar DeRozan? Is that what I'm kind of hearing from you?
I don't want DeMar DeRozan for $24 million. If DeMar DeRozan comes for $14 million and you can get somebody else to add with him, I'm all for that. So it's about value, too.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong, like he's just trash. But for $24 million, I'm a judge you on a much harshly slant than I am for $14 million because that's $24 million. Really? Yeah, you got to be a superstar to be worth for $24 million a year.
All right. So let's talk about the mock drafts. So you pretty much said there's only two players. I think there's three players, maybe five. But is there anyone you want to talk about as far as the mock draft as we get ready to set this up coming up at the end of June here?
Yeah, no, I'm just gonna tell you folks, this is normally where I just sit back and listen to Robin and bounce off what he talks about because I don't have anything in front of me about who's going to do what. I really do, though. I've read up on it, and there's a big man from Europe, Bender, who are
yep.
they're raving about, too. People are hoping he could be the next Porzingis. But still, I still think, you know, we're going to have that stigmatism here with European players. We're never going to give them the credit until they become basically Dirk Nowitzki and wins the title, and
yep.
he does what he does for 12 years. It's going to take forever for us to believe that dude's going to be good. So I still think it's just going to be those two. I think you're absolutely right about Hield. I think he's the dark horse of, you know,
mm-hmm.
is he a rich man's Kemba Walker? You know, somebody that's he's a little bit bigger than Kemba, but can still get buckets like that, put a team on his back, all like Kemba did, you know, even though Kemba won a title. But, you know, real similar to putting Oklahoma on his back and carrying him on that run. So really just those three, and I wouldn't even put it on Bender. I mean, they say that, but I'm a non-believer until I see it against the NBA top competition. So, those two plus your wild card are healed.
You know, something that I don't see anybody else, and I'm a huge – this is me, and I know this is going to be from left field. There's no one comparing to like a Tony Kukoc. I was a huge fan of him, man. I thought he was a very smooth player. Just a great, kind of all-around player, if you will.
Uh-huh.
There's not anybody that compares anyone to him anymore, too. Like I said, I know his Porzingis is not a new thing, too, man. So if you're a European player, man, there's great guys, you know, from the – I go back to Deathlip Shrimp. I mean, I go back to all these players,
mm-hmm.
you know, to Rick Smith. There's a lot of players that, you know, but we don't go back that far anymore. We kind of, yeah, man, yeah. Crap, who was the guy? Who was a shooter that was from Peja Stojkovic?
Played for the Nets.
There's so many players that, you know, that you could compare it to, but, you know, we don't go back that deep as well. I will ask this one question to you as well. We are making good time, so we're flying by here as we wrap up,
mm-hmm.
man. Because I'm always a fan of. I'm always thinking we're not going to have enough time. We're just two of us talking, but we pulled it off. What do you think about Denzel Valentine? Are you think he can be a good player from Michigan State here?
I think I remember Draymond there. Denzel just doesn't seem like he's as big as Draymond, and not in terms of necessarily height, but just in terms
he's not
of bigness,
but.
Yeah, but you hear people compare. I had that comparison. I've heard that more than once. I was like, I don't think he's going to be that Swiss Army knife. I think he's that dude that can – I think he's got a ridiculous amount of confidence, which is always helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's going to be more of a shooter than just a Swiss Army knife like Draymond is. You know what I mean? Like, I think he'll rebound well for his position, but he won't consistently have triple doubles in the NBA, I don't think. I think his value is basically like an off-the-bench microwave. Like you bring him in with the second unit and just let him get warm and go to work. I think that's more down his alley from what I see for him.
This is the one guy that I think because of a Draymond Green, he may get a little more value. And the reason why is because I can see him becoming that San Antonio player because he does everything good but not everything great. He's got high basketball
True.
IQ. You know, he knows where he's always in the right position, plays hard. He could be a team leader. He's 23. He's older. Once again, same type of situation, another dark horse player. So that's my two cents. That's what I was going to talk about tonight as far as the mock draft because, like you said, there's not real a lot of players, a lot of European players, a lot of international players that we don't know about. And, you know, I still like the rule that, you know, players can go back and they don't think they can draft the high note. I think it's fantastic. But that's
fantastic.
Just me. Yeah, so that's something how we think too. But we got 2 minutes here, and as we always do, we are going to officially wrap it up. So we did it, sir. We actually got a minute. So anything else you want to say before we wrap up this edition of Talking Sports 12 Minutes, sir?
Just want to tell everybody thank you for sticking with us through the OT and downloading it, and I'll let you next week. Hopefully we'll find out what happened to Rob, and that'll be a good story to start the show with next week.
Yeah, you know, we're gonna like, because he gives me like a hard time. I mean, I know, you know, I know he's probably traveling, and he's probably like in five different time zones. Maybe he's like trying to get caught up too. So, you know, we're not going to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, beep on it too hard, but, you know, he's going to wake up like tomorrow, like, what just happened? So it's all good. But once again, as always, want to thank you for listening to Talk Sports 12 Man, the two-man edition here. Brings back a little old memories here. But once again, as JQ said, definitely don't forget to, You know, like us on Facebook, tell your friends, download the podcast, give us your thoughts. That's what we like to talk about, what we like to do. Next week, we're definitely going to continue. As I talked about, we're going to talk about the NBA Finals. Maybe we'll kick into some, you know, some NBA camps, but we'll talk to you later.